So, but we're going to wrap up kind of last year's thing. I know it says Christmas, but it's all right. We're going to talk about the wise men. They didn't come for a couple years after that anyways. But we've been unwrapping the gifts of Christmas. And we started off with Mary and the gift that she got, the fact that she's going to be pregnant and the visiting by an angel and those things was really cool. We talked about last week during Christmas, on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, the gift of the baby and the child, and he's the light of the world. It's just a powerful thing when you think about it. And today, we're gonna unwrap the gift of the Magi. Now, most people, it's going to be a little bit different than what you normally expect. We're going to talk about what they did, but and I'm going to do this sermon a little bit differently because I'm basically going to go through the whole chapter 2 of Matthew. I'm going to read a little bit, we're going to talk about a little bit, then I'll read a little bit more, and we'll talk about a little bit more, read a little bit more, and we'll go on. And so it's usually a little different. I do it different ways, but just to keep myself fresh, I'm going to switch it around a little bit. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, it'll be also up on the screen if you want to. But we're going to learn some more about these valuable gifts that we've been unwrapping during Christmas. And you might even learn some lessons from them as well. So I'm going to start in chapter 2 of Matthew. And it says this, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw the star when it rose, and we've come to give worship to him. Now, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. He was already disturbed. Never mind. Okay, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was supposed to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what is written, the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least of the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd the people of Israel. Now let's just stop right there for a second. So there's a gift in there that some people don't even see, don't even realize. And it's actually the gift is given to the Magi that they get a star. It's like this. I mean, I grew up on a farm. And when the cattle gave birth, and you were a bull farmer and you were trying to sell bulls and other things, it was just a blessing when you had more bull calves than you did heifer calves. It was just a blessing. When I know some farmers who were sheep farmers or sheep ranchers or whatever you want to call them, I don't know, but when they get triplets, oh, that's good. That's a good blessing kind of thing. It's kind of like, you know, put another way, when a truck driver gets good fuel mileage, he's just excited. You know, it's one of those kind of things. It's in your niche. It's a mechanic or a woodworker who gets a new tool that just helps out and makes things a whole lot more easier. It's that kind of thing. Realize these magi, they studied the stars. They were the only ones that would do that. They studied the stars and the constellations and all the different things, and they studied literature. And out of nowhere, God blesses them with this incredible star. I mean, you want to talk about giddy. They were excited. They were so excited, and we miss it. Probably half the world, most of the world missed it. Obviously, Herod and the teachers of the law and stuff, they missed it. But the Magi realized, they said, man, this is something special. And so they had enough research, not a bunch, they had enough research that they knew we should follow this star. We need to go to see what the star means, what's about. And so they take off. And it's the star, for a star to appear in Bethlehem was a treat for them. Now, you think, have you guys ever stayed up to watch like the comet or a meteor storm or anything? Where I grew up, you could occasionally see the northern lights if the storms were just right. Have you ever stayed up and done that? Yeah, it's pretty neat, isn't it? I mean, it's one of those things where you may never see it again. So I'd get my kids up and we look at the lunar eclipses and the eclipses and different things and the comets falling. I remember up in Idaho, we saw one when it was a comet storm came through and when the tail came through stuff. And man, up in Idaho, there's no light pollution kind of thing. And boy, it was just incredible. It was just star after star flying through. It was incredible. We watch those things. Why? Because it's just neat. And we don't really study them. Think about the people who study them and how excited they get when they get to see it. So that's kind of the thing it is. It was a gift to them that we don't even realize was a gift, but for them, it was really special. So they decided to follow the star because they knew it was important. Now, in verse 3, it says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, along with all of Jerusalem with them. Now, you need to understand something. So often we see, and they're at the manger scene, and let me tell you, the wise men did not appear in the manger scene. This didn't happen. Because they came, I mean, that was the night of. After that, they found a place to stay. You don't think Jesus was raised in a barn. He was born there. Okay? And then they moved into a house. And it had been a while. And realize, you guys know how government is, right? You know how long it takes for them to do anything. Think about a government that doesn't have electronics and all the other stuff like this taking a census. How long does it take? A long time. Years. And so the thing is King Herod, he's disturbed. He's worried about this. And it says all of Jerusalem with him. Well, how would they all know? Folks, here's another misnomer, a thing that people don't understand, is the wise men did not just travel with three of them, with a camel, with whatever, with gold and frankincense and myrrh. They wouldn't have traveled through where they traveled at night with that much money on them without some help. When they traveled in an entourage. It was like a tour bus. And when the tour bus showed up in town, in Jerusalem, I mean, we got camels coming in. They have people that just take care of the camels and the animals. They have people that set up their tents. Because realize, if they're following a star, when are they traveling? At night. And it's not safe to travel at night unless you're in a large group. And so they're traveling at night. It's really hard to follow a star in the daytime. You can't see it. Just makes it hard. So they're traveling at night. They're doing this. They traveled with, you know, people that cooked for them. They traveled all these different things. So when they show up in Jerusalem, it's like a parade. The gates open, and here comes this entourage of camels and people. And there's three guys riding some, three or four guys, however many the Magi were. They're coming in, and it's a parade. The people go, man, who are these guys? What's going on? How do we get blessed with all these guys coming in? It's like a parade. They're like, wow, you know, everybody comes to see what's going on because here they come walking in and whatever. And Herod notices, obviously. He's the king. Why do these magi, why do these wise men show up at my place? What's going on? And so when they find out and they ask, where's this king? He's like, what? You know, I missed it? Because see, here's the thing. The king's born, the Messiah is born on King Herod's watch. And he didn't want that. He didn't have a clue what was going on. And there's nothing more frustrating to a government leader than not having a clue. There's a lot of them that have it that way. But when they think they're in charge and they think they're all that and they're the king and they find out something's going on and they don't know about it, it really upsets them. And so they get people together and they find out what's going on. Herod missed the whole thing. Messiah was born and he knew nothing about it. Here's the thing. Don't miss what God has for you this next year. Don't miss what God has for you. He has some things. It might not be what you expect. In fact, I'm almost positive it will not be what you expect. But God has an incredible gift for you this next year. And it might be just a gift of humility. You become humbled. It might be something else. It might be a new family member. It might be, who knows? But it won't be what you expect. But it doesn't mean it's not a blessing. God can bless us. He takes care of us. He loves us. He sent his son to die on a cross for us. Don't miss the gift. Okay, let's move on. In verse 7, so Herod calls the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report back to me so that I too can go and worship him. Yeah, right. And after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose and went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. So realize, understand, they followed the star. They're leaving out of Jerusalem to head to Bethlehem with their whole entourage, and it's getting dusk and whatever, and guess what appears? The star again. You see what it says? It says, when they saw the star, it appeared again, and they followed it, and it stopped over to where the child was. That is incredible for an astronomer. They are freaking out. That is the coolest thing ever. When they saw the star, it says they were overjoyed. Yeah. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, obviously, these gifts are the obvious ones, right? We see, the gift of the Magi, they're the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We get that. The Magi brought them very nice gifts. Gifts for the birth of a king. You do realize that, right? When you come to give a king a gift on his birthday or on the birth of them, you don't just bring average things. You bring something special. And they brought something special, and they carried it a long way. Valuable stuff. And they had no problem giving it. In fact, it was a blessing. They wanted to be able to give this to the King of Kings, the Messiah. They knew, they understood what it was. See, the thing, it wasn't the night of his birth. So get that out of your mind. It says that they saw the child with his mother. If it was the baby and it was the night of the birth, they'd say, I saw the baby and it wasn't at the house. It'd say the stable. But it says the house is where the baby was. And so basically, probably about a year and a half. Because later on, you'll find out that Herod kills everyone under the age of 2 in that town. He's just making sure he covered everything. It's probably about a year. She's got a toddler running around the house. Yes, I understand he's the Messiah. Yes, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. But he's still running around. He's still a toddler. He grew up like every other toddler. Why? No, my. I mean, all those things. Okay? I mean, he was. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, well, Jesus was always just the perfect kid. I'm not positive of that. He was a human being. Did he sin? No. But I think he was an average, normal kid. So he shows up. It says, they went to the house and they found, basically Joseph found a place to stay, which you would have expected. It was the night of his birth that he couldn't find a place to stay. It was full. People were traveling through. This was the best place to stop at night. You know, everything was filled up. But once the morning came and once those people headed where they were going, hey, the place opens up. There's a place for him to stay, a place for him to live. And they lived there, and they lived there for a while. Well, what did he do then? Well, he was a carpenter. Guess what he probably did? He built things. That's what he did. It says that they came in and they worshiped him. Now, this is a part I don't want you to miss. They worshiped him. People don't understand, and we just did it, why offering is considered worship. People will show up to church and they'll go, oh, they're going to ask for money. They're going to take up an offering. What's going on? People are missing the point. Offering is a part of worship. What did they do? They came and they worshiped him. And as they worshiped him, what did they do? They brought their gifts, the best they had, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Here's an example of people who are worshiping God and they're bringing their best gifts. So many people miss that in church. They totally miss it. Offering is not about paying the bills of the church. Now, we'd have to do that. It's some of the things we have to do. I get that. And keep track of the budgets and have the ministries going. I get that. But that's not what offering is about. That's one of the benefits we have. Offering is about worshiping God. Worshiping the God of grace and mercy, who gave grace and mercy to you. Worshiping the God of provision and health. He has provided for you. He's given you health so you have a job. He's the God, worshiping the God of shelter and refuge. You guys have a house? Yeah. And refuge. He's my refuge and my strength. It's about worshiping the God of protection and strength. It's about worshiping the God of encouragement and peace. It's about worshiping the God who sent his Son to take away our sins. And giving should just be a part of that. And it says, give your first fruit, give your best. That's what it's part about. And people miss that opportunity. They miss a whole section of worship because they are not willing to give. Bringing a gift is simply acknowledging the acknowledgement of a God who cares for us and who loves us and worshiping him. Don't miss that gift. I mean, those guys brought 3 gifts, but don't miss what it means to have the opportunity to worship. That was their whole purpose. I mean, the star was a cool thing. Loved to follow the star. They probably thought that was incredible. We'd like to study it somehow. Can we do that? But when it came down to it, the star was pathetic compared to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they went to worship the child. Let's go on. Look at verse 12. After having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So kind of wrapping things up. Okay, hey, angel comes, says, don't go back. Herod's going to try to kill him. Don't do that. So when they got up and had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he says. You notice this is one of the few times the angel does not say, do not be afraid. The angel saying, get up, come on, get up. Wakes him up, says, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to try to kill him. So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I'll call my son. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice heard in Ramah, a weeping of great mourning. Rachel is weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Wow. I mean, I realize he's the Son of Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but man, think about the people who had to suffer to protect him. Innocent children. Boys of 2 years old or younger. Let me tell you something. If I had found out that there was an edict and I didn't, and I had a two-year-old boy, I'd be gone. I wouldn't be living around there. I wouldn't even stay. Do anything to protect my child. You understand why there was weeping and going on. People whose blessing was a child, they had a boy, an incredible little boy who's going to help work on whatever they were doing. And here comes the government and kills them all. Whew. That's heavy stuff. Now here's the thing. We may not see the last gift given in this part, but it's an important gift. It's a protection of the family. God protects his son. God protects his children. See, here's the thing. The gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that were given to them was to provide for them when they're traveling to a foreign country. You do realize that. That's the whole purpose of it. The reason why God had the Magi come and give the gifts was so that when Joseph and Mary had to flee, everything's provided for. God never leaves his children not cared for. He always cares for his children. Think about it. They receive three expensive gifts the night that they have to flee for their lives. Now, I just want you to imagine. This is my mind. Imagine with me. Joseph wakes up from a dream. Have you ever had those dreams where you woke up and your heart's beating and all that stuff? You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, but most of the time you don't remember what it's about. This time he remembers what it's about. He saw an angel. Angel woke him up and told him, let's get going. So here's the thing. You just got woken up by an angel that says, you need to leave now. So Joseph wakes up Mary. Remember, Mary has a toddler. Does she want to wake up? Okay, so Joseph wakes up the mom, Mary, and says, let's get going. We got all these things to do. We've got to get things taken care of. You know, what's going on? And so we got to leave. We got to leave now, quietly. Just grab what you need. Just grab what you, the bare necessities. Let's go. And they leave without anyone knowing, traveling in the night with a toddler to a foreign country. Think about that. God wakes them up. They get the toddler up. Maybe he just fell back asleep on their arms. Who knows? But they hop on a donkey. They take the bare necessities. What do they need? Well, if you just got three incredibly expensive gifts that are going to provide for you, are you going to take them? Yeah. They didn't need anything else. Get the blankets. You got to change the clothes. Make sure we get that stuff. We got enough food for the day. We've got to leave now, tonight. And they get up and leave in the middle of the night. God took care of them. God provided them enough to live with, not to have to worry about the expenses. I mean, think about it. When you plan for traveling, you got to plan for these things. My wife is getting ready. She's going to go back to Kansas and get to watch her nephew. She's really excited about it. She leaves tomorrow morning at 4 in the morning kind of thing. Well, you got to make some plans, right? She's got to have... The gas has to be full. She doesn't want to hop in the car at 4 in the morning and there's no gas. So all those things, there's expenses with traveling. When you show up in a town, when Joseph and Mary showed up in a town, they need more provisions, they're hungry. What do they do? Well, he's a carpenter. What does he have to do? Well, I've got to build something first before I'm going to get paid. No, God provided. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, stuff you'll be able to trade and change and be able to provide for the family the whole trip and the whole time he's down there. The whole time he's down there, he's able to provide for his family. God provided enough for them to live without having to worry about it. Hey, God's got it, right? You've heard it before. See, God provides for us too. He's given you a job that you have. Or if you've retired, he gave you the job that you retired from. Think about it. Do you have a roof over your head? God provides. Do you have food to eat? God provides. You all have clothes on, I can tell. God provides. Can you pay your bills? Well, not always, but God provides. He takes care of it. See, God provides. He provides. He takes care of us. The thing is a lot of people miss that gift. They miss the gift that God took care of his family. He did have to take them to a foreign land. But can you think about that? If you got woke up in the middle of the night and, hey, we have to go to Canada or Mexico or what it would take just to be able to do that in the spur of a moment, well, what do you take? What do you leave? What's going on? This has been our home for a year. I'm unpacked. Really? Gone. Here's the rest of the story. After Herod died, this is verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph again in Egypt. Every time he shows up to Joseph, what does he say? Get up. He tells him again, get up, take your child and your mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to take your life of the child's life are dead. So he got up, took his child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went to live in a town called Nazareth. And so was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. So eventually, last thing, God takes you home. I mean, is this a turmoil part of life? I mean, it's a lot going on. Many years after they left for the simple census, they finally get back home. Think about it. Joseph leaves initially with a pregnant wife. How much fun traveling is that? Right? Okay, he leaves with a pregnant, I mean, she's close to being due. He leaves with a pregnant wife, and while you're on the journey, while you're on your trip, while you finally get there, she gives birth. Not the normal place, but in a stable. He's doing his best to provide, but man, this is the best he can do. He gets a stable. But then, on that night, they get visited by shepherds. And the shepherds tell about an angel and a host of angels that tell what was going on. And it just confirms the fact that this is Jesus and everything that was told to Joseph and Mary beforehand. But it's been a hard trip so far. Now she's given birth. And now some magi visit, some wise men, and they give some gifts and whatever. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the government wants to kill him. They're hunting for him. So he has to flee the country for a few years to a foreign land that's not his home. But then finally, and on their way home, as they're coming home, he realizes that the king's son is there, and he's a little worried about it, so he takes a different route. Let's not take the easy route. We're going to have to take a different route. So he totally missed them, and they end up settling up in Galilee, where they started off with, and they come home. God brings them safely home. Folks, God will bring us safely home. We have a hard time with that. Some people don't grasp that God will bring us home. Sometimes our home is here. Sometimes it's peaceful. It's nice to be home after a trip. Am I correct? You're right to sleep in your own bed. Take a shower in your own shower where, man, you can take a shower for however long you want to. It's just something just nice about being home, right? There's just something about it. That's another one of the gifts that we see here that God takes his people home. Now, this is not our home. This world, we're just passing through. We're on this journey. Our home is heaven, and we don't even know what it looks like. Not completely. You have no clue what your place looks like in heaven. God will take care of it. I trust God's got it. He's a pretty good decorator. Look at, he made the world. He's pretty creative. He's pretty good. I think he's got it handled. And he knows each and every one of you. He made you. He knows what you like. All interesting. So, folks, here's the thing. Let's wrap it up. Don't miss what God has for you this year. It might not be what you expect, but it still probably will still be a blessing. God will provide for your family many ways, maybe not the way you expect, but if you're obedient to him, God will take care of you. Joseph did not question God's plans. He went on faith that God had everything under control, or as we say it, God's got it. Right? He didn't debate. Well, I woke up, Mary, I had this dream, and maybe we need to pray about it before we go ahead and go. Because I'm not sure if I really understood the angel saying, go. You know, I'm not sure if he meant like now, or do we need to go ahead and get some things taken care of, whatever. Here's the thing, folks. The biggest challenge for everybody in the new year will to be live your life by faith. And you know, when you live your life by faith, you know what God does? He tests your faith. We've already talked about nobody likes a test, but he will test your faith. Are you willing to step out as a person, spiritual life, as a church? Are we willing to go where God leads us? Or do we need to take some more time? I mean, here's the thing. Joseph went. I mean, that night he got up and go. Angel woke him up next time, get up and go. I realize angels don't speak to us like that anymore, but we know what God wants us to do. We know in general what the church is supposed to do. Are we doing it? Or is God going to challenge you to step out on faith in your evangelism, in your worship, in your giving, in the different areas of your life? Is God going to challenge you? Are you willing to step up? Do you understand that God's got it? Are you going to be obedient? God will lead you home, whether here or in heaven. Do you think Joseph and Mary questioned what God was doing? Yeah. Hello, Lord, what are you doing? First of all, she's pregnant and she's not. And it's not mine. It's yours. So I'll give you that one. Now you want us to travel. She has birth while that's going on. Now you want us to leave the country? You think he's sitting in Egypt going, Lord, I have no clue what you're doing. I mean, Egypt's nice. It's nice. Nile, all that. It's all really nice. But this isn't our home. This is not where we want to be. How long are we going to be here? How long are you going to keep us like this? What's going on, Lord? We want to know. And it's just completely quiet. Until one evening, he gets woken up again. Okay, time to go home. Okay, I wasn't quite ready. You know, what's going on? Are you living a life obedient? Joseph and Mary, they questioned. They had to have. What's going on? But they had a faith that they lived by. And God took them where they needed to be, protected them. And it was just a season of life. Who knows how long it was? It could have been 4 or 5 years. Jesus is 4 or 5 years old when he finally gets home. Oh, this is our home. I know we haven't been here yet, but this is home. Here in Nazareth, here's my workshop. You know, there's the fort. You're going to cut wood from over there, son. And I know you're not ready yet, but you will. But this is home. How many of us realize, I mean, we want stuff so immediate that we don't realize God takes us on a journey and he has no problem with the amount of time or the place that we're at. We just have to be faithful no matter what. Got to be faithful no matter what. I've had the opportunity to talk to people, Reed being one of them, other people. What's going on? What's God doing? I don't know, but I know this. He's a good God. He loves me. I know he's got it. Whatever it is, I'm just going to stay faithful, whether it's in sickness or in health, whether it's in good times or bad times. We got to follow God because he will always take care of us. He'll provide what we need. He'll protect us. He'll bring us home. He'll delight in us. The Magi is delighted in the star. You don't think he'll give you delights this next year? Where you're just like, that's so cool. Look at what God did. You're going to give him praise or are you going to miss it? The thing is we need to remain faithful like Mary and Joseph did in our lives. This next year, I know we're kind of wrapping up a Christmas thing, but this next year we got to stay faithful and believe God's got it and take it through. But if God's got it and God's taking care of it for you, he has stuff for us to do. We're supposed to be involved in our community. We're supposed to be involved in our families and friends' lives, in our church, in those things. We're supposed to be part of it. It's what we're supposed to do. It's part of him leading us on this journey that we call Christianity. Folks, I don't know where you're at. I don't know. It's a new year. If you want to make a resolution to Christ and whatever, that's great, but I'm going to hold you to it. But if you need to get right back with God, then it's a good time. It's a new year. Come and confess. Get things right with God. It's important. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, what a great time. New year, new life, new everything. He's the one that gave us new creation. They were right when they were talking about it in communion offering. He's the one that creates us and gives us new. It's an incredible thing. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you want to come, you can. We're going to stand and we're going to sing.